Do have our special guest in the corner over there. This is our canine Jet, who is our latest addition to PPD family and the airport. He's a 16-month-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever and specializes in explosives detection. So if any of you media have any explosives on you, we can do a quick test run, see how well Jet is doing.
Yeah, it's good news. Always when we add a new canine, everybody loves the dogs. This is a gorgeous dog, too, by the way. So Jet's been working at the airport doing bomb sniffing, explosives sniffing. Joining us now, we have Eric Randall. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing, Andrew?
Great to have you. Great. We're doing fantastic. Do I have it right? There's one PPD dog for the airport and then, like, what, six or seven that are on patrol outside of the airport? And they're kind of two separate kinds of groups, right? Like, the one is for explosives and the others are for drugs and chases and search and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So, Jet at the airport is a single purpose, what we call a single purpose canine detector. He's for explosives. Our patrol dogs are dual purpose, so narcotics and patrol functions. And we also have two other dogs. We have a dog that's a gun detector dog. We utilize her in the schools. And then we have another dog, Taylor. That's an electronics detection dog.
Okay.
And we use it in a lot of special investigations and other things. So,
okay.
So we have a variety of canine assets.
Yeah, the electronics ones is amazing to me. They can sniff out USBs and hard drives that people, you know, child pornographers and whatever hide. And it's just, I mean, it's an amazing, or, you know, people who commit, you know, electronic fraud and they have records or whatever. That's amazing stuff. Okay, I didn't know that about the gun dog for the schools. And so that puts the total at what, maybe around 10 canines for PPD? Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll be that. Yes, sir.
Very good. Well, everybody loves to see the new dogs. That's fantastic. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question because it's really more, you know, I kind of brought it up with Mike last week and, you know, he recommended I talk with you about it. He's out this week, you know, doing a training event. And so we've got you, which is fantastic. We, you know, love talking to you as well. But the question I had is I had a recent incident and, you know, I don't want to, it's not really about me, but just it happened to be my experience. My son got backed into it at Walmart on Creighton and first impulse is to call the police, right? To have him come do a report. He was told by the dispatcher, we don't dispatch to private parking lots because it was in the parking lot. And, you know, he called me and he's like, Dad, I thought we're supposed to. And I called dispatch and was told the same thing. You know, we don't dispatch to private parking lots. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. Well, so, you know, eventually we did manage to get an officer to come out, you know, and Officer Sergeant Sturgeon is great. I mean, she's fantastic. She shows up, doesn't do a report. But does do body camera. We're still trying to get that because what happened is between him admitting fault at the time, totally taking the blame, he's now telling the other driver is now telling the other insurance company, you know, no, he backed into me. I'm like, baloney. And, you know, it's crazy. But that's why you do a police report. And so my question for you is, when did the policy change? Why do we have this policy? Maybe explain, because I think people in the city, and I know for me, have always been trained, always call a cop, get a police report. That way you have it documented.
Right. Yeah, with crashes on private property, unless there's some specific criteria that's met, say, for instance, if there's a report of injury, significant damage, resulting in a DUI investigation, a hit and run. Those are things that are required to have reports done on, state reports done on, because you got to remember the report that we do is a state reportable form for a crash. Now, what we can do in those situations on private property, because usually there's private property crashes at low speeds, minimal damage, no injuries are occurring. So what we normally do is if we have officers available and you're requesting it, we can come out, respond. We're going to respond with our body cameras and document everything, issue what we call a CAD number, dispatch number. So they'll have a record of it for the parties involved in the insurance companies. And also we'll do the information exchange forms, which is part of the information where both drivers get each other's information and give that to their insurance companies. But like you said, with the police coming out with the body camera, dash cameras, that stuff is available to document any statements that are made at the time. Because, like you said, sometimes things change once people leave the scene, things of that nature. But yeah, that has been the policy for quite some time. Unless there's those specific criteria that have been met: injuries, death, then in person. Significant damage where a wrecker is required to remove the vehicle, because now you're getting up to higher speeds and things of that nature. Hazardous material incidents, commercial vehicles. So those are a lot of stipulations that require, you know, to document stuff on a state form. But when there's minor, no injuries and things of that nature, minimal damage, we're not required to document those on a state form. But also, you have the ability to go online afterwards and do, you know, on the state website and do a short form where you can just have that document on the short form as driver itself. And like I said, this is specifically for parking, private road crashes, very minimal damage, no injuries and things of that nature. Now, there's other factors like I just talked about that can come into play that can change that. So,
well, okay, I have a follow-up I'll ask you in just a second, because what Mike was telling us last week was that, you know, look, if you demand an officer comes, you get an officer to come. And, of course, ours would have fallen into exactly your criteria: low speed, no fuss, we thought it was a slam dunk thing, minimal damage, all of this stuff. I'm really glad we forced the issue, but it feels like, you know, ask once you get told no, but you got to ask two or three times to get told yes. And that's why I wanted to ask you about this. Chief, just a quick follow-up. You can or cannot get an officer for the, you know, low speed, low incident, minor damage, no violence, no DUI, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, you can. Yeah, so, like, you know, if you, and like I said, the other things that come into play too. So, you know, we prioritize calls too. So, you know, depending on the time of day it is, if it's a high volume call, time of day, I mean, that call, you know, with being minimal damage, minimal, you know, injuries, things of that nature, is going to be a lower priority because we're trying to deal with other life-threatening things of that nature. So it depends on what time of day you call, too. So it could be a wait period.
Trust me, I know that too. not with you guys. There was a second fender bender I had on my way home and had to call FHP, and it took like an hour, hour and a half to get them there, and that was its own separate nightmare. Thank you for answering. I appreciate the perspective. I know one of the things that you had wanted to talk about is, and we just are doing a story today, like there's all this fraud in the world, like $12 billion in fraud, $15 billion in fraud, crazy levels of fraud. But we see this locally. What are the frauds that you're seeing locally that you want to warn people about?
So, I mean, we're seeing all kinds of fraud locally. We're seeing telephone scams. We're seeing the text messages. I myself have been getting these told text messages threatening to do all kinds of different things. You know, I'm sure everybody else is getting them. They're coming in emails. They're coming on social media. But, you know, what I want the community to know is if you get a text message, email, or phone call demanding you take some type of action immediately, especially financially, take a minute. Pause, pump the brakes, think about it, and don't do anything immediately. Make sure you talk to, especially if it's something about your financial institution that's requiring you to do something, make sure you stop, get a hold of your financial institution. Or if you have no other means or anyone to talk to, give us a call, because there are a number of cases where if individuals would give law enforcement a call or talk to somebody else, we could have saved people thousands. When I say fraud and scams, people are getting scammed out of thousands of dollars. And then another thing is the romance scams. We're seeing these romance scams on Facebook and social media, where people are befriending people on social media, and the next thing you know, they're telling them they love them, they're going to get married, can you send me this money because of this thing, and next thing you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 is, these people are sending this type of money. I mean, these are actual incidents that we have had happen here in Pensacola. And then, like I said, the telephone scams, the emails, and things of that nature. But, you know, I read, Martha, you probably read, I want to say it's actually $16 billion in 2024.
Crazy.
From fraud and scams. And it was $12 billion in 2023.
Yep.
So, I mean, it continues to escalate. And every day, everybody be getting these things, they're flooding your emails and things of that nature. So my advice is to just stop, pump the brakes.
You know, I saw a statistic that was very scary to me, just that the claim is that roughly 30% of Americans have fallen victim to a scam in the last year. That's not in their life. That's in the last year, which is, I mean, you know, the people who get scammed are the people who think they cannot get scammed, right? It's the, you know, people who get tricked into cults are people who think they can't get tricked into cults. Like, it's the people who think they're invulnerable that are the ones that wind up, you know, falling prey to this stuff. I also wanted to ask you a question about the real-time crime center and the ShotSpotter. Either or both of those are still showing value to the city of Pensacola?
Oh yeah. Every day they're showing value to the city of Pensacola. And thank you to our partners and Sheriff Simmons and his team at the Sheriff's Office. We partner great with them. It's showing so much value. I actually added a second staff member to the real-time crime center. And they, when I say real-time, it's real-time out here supporting the operations and investigations on the street each and every day. And just yesterday we had a situation where a traffic stop and someone fled from a traffic stop. Our real-time crime center personnel was up on the radio, on the computer, utilizing the technological resources to identify and find this person, and several hours later we were able to make an arrest in that particular situation. So that's one immediate example of a win that we have, and it's brought to the Pensacola community by the great collaboration between law enforcement. You know, that's the great thing about here. Your law enforcement team working together 24/7. You probably saw the article yesterday from Florida Highway Patrol. The collaboration we did over the weekend with the aggressive driving and DUI enforcement.
Yeah.
That is law enforcement working together, setting the example, making Pensacola safe.
Speaking of that, I know you work, you know, one of the things that the city keeps doing is working on, you know, speed enforcement through the red light camera enforcement, all of this. Are you, and it might be too early, I know the mayor has, you know, kind of mentioned this, it's maybe a little bit too early, but are you seeing behavior changes? Are your officers reporting behavior changes around red lights? And are you seeing anything in the line of, like, reduced collisions as a result of them?
Well, Andrew, it's still too early.
Okay, fair enough.
We've had two months of data, and we're trying to compare that. We saw the bump between February and March. Now we're getting ready to get to the point where we can kind of take a full look at the April data here real soon as the end of the month come and see what's going on. But I will tell you, I watch many of these videos with some of these violations, and it's disturbing the way some of these people are running these red lights. If it's a traffic signal, if the light turns yellow doesn't mean speed up and try to beat the traffic signal. Yellow means, hey, we need to start slowing down because we're going to need to stop. And we need to pay attention. Everybody needs to pay attention to these traffic signals because, we got to be able to reduce injuries and we got to be able to save lives. I mean, I'm just saying, some of these videos, you probably seen them when we rolled it out.
Oh, yeah.
Are just horrific, some of these violations.
If we citizens had red light camera capability on dash cameras that we had, every single one of us would be turning in tickets every single day because just driving around, you see crazy behavior. It is an amazing problem. And I am really hoping that this works. I'm really hoping it makes those intersections safer. Frankly, if it works and we can expand it to other intersections, I'm on board. I am a fan. And if it turns out not to be working, well, we need to find some other solution because this is a really, really dangerous thing. And this comes as a dad who's taught one already to drive and is teaching another one to drive and has to teach another one to drive here in a minute. You know, teach them how to work around the danger of red light runners is a very, very scary thing. Chief Eric Randall, Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall. Chief, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for you to keep our community safe. And we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You guys have a great day. And thank you for what you do each and every day for the community.